You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We have on the phone Labour Party leader Andrew Little. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
Good. That's great. So you announced yesterday that you were challenging the government to support a bill that will allow for the full recovery of the Pike River miners. Can you tell me about this?
Yeah, I won't necessarily allow for the full recovery of the miners. What it will do is allow the re-entry to the drift, which is the tunnelway that goes up to the mine, which is what the families want access to. Now, providing, of course, that the reports from the experts that the families have got and whatever reports the government have got say that the risk is as low as the experts are saying as it is, then, you know, we're saying that should be the conditions to allow access to the mine. The government said their most recent kind of excuse for not supporting this is to say, well, there'd be too much liability on the directors of Solid Energy, the legal owners of the mine. So I'm saying, well let's deal with that. Let's pass a law in Parliament that says that those directors won't be subject to the liability, providing that the proper precautions have been taken. What we can't do is have a situation where the government says that, you know, there has to be absolutely zero risk in terms of re-entry, when you've got experts saying that, of course, there's always a risk, but the risk at the moment of re-entering that mine is at such a low level that it is feasible and practical, and also the correct thing to do, to make an effort at re-entry. And the reason why the families want that is not because they expect to recover every single, you know, one of the men who are there, but to know how far any of them might have got, and if there's any evidence that will help in any, you know, further investigation into the causes of the explosion. And I don't think that's an unreasonable thing for the families to be asking.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, how do you respond to Environmental Minister Nick Smith's comment that, you know, that this is contradictory and unsafe?
I mean, that's an excuse that they're falling back on. And, you know, we've had the fact that the families have gone and got international experts who, based on the information they've got, have said, no, on all the indicators are that there's a level of kind of stability in terms of the atmosphere and the mine that anywhere else in the world would be acceptable conditions for attempting to re-enter that part of the mine workings. So that's what that is. Now, the government just seems to be turning an absolutely deaf ear to anything the families say. Of course the families have got a stake in this. They're the ones who've lost their loved ones, and they just want to do, as the government promised them, anything that can be done, you know, will be done within the bounds of appropriate safety. But there is still stuff that can be done, and that's all the families are saying. That you promised us, let's do this one last thing, see if we can get entry, and just see, in terms of however far we can get, just see what is there. Because if it is possible that one or two or however many of them might have got a little bit further up the drift, further up that little the tunnel that leads to the mine, then let's, you know, recover that, and let's see if there's any other evidence that tells us what the causes might have been. I'm just surprised that the government is being as obstructive as they are on this issue.
Yeah, and I mean, New Zealand First has also been talking, you know, Winston Peters has been down visiting the families of the Pike River miners. Is this a move perhaps you feel like you've been pushed into because of New Zealand First bringing it back to the forefront again, or has this sort of been in the works for Labour all along?
I've personally been involved in the Pike River tragedy and the aftermath since the 19th of November 2010. This is anything new to me, and I've been integrally involved in the follow-up to it, the inquiry, the Royal Commission of Inquiry, the aftermath of the Royal Commission, the law that's been passed in Parliament, because I became an MP as the legislation came to Parliament. I've known the families for all that time. I've been involved with them. This is nothing new to me. And when they came to Wellington last year, I was pretty clear, of course we support them. And they've got their report, the government's got their report. I've said, you know, it is time for the government to back off, sit around the table with the families, work out what can be done, and that remains the position. So I'm no Johnny come lately to this. I've been fighting this corner for the last, you know, 6 years and more, and will continue to do so. And in terms of mine safety generally, of course, my involvement goes longer than that. I led the union that campaigned on better mine safety for, you know, the years leading up to that disaster. We could unfortunately see some of this sort of stuff coming.
Yeah, right. And just going on to Waitangi weekend is coming up pretty soon. What is your reaction to Bill English not deciding not to attend the celebrations after being told he wouldn't be allowed to speak?
Yeah, I just think that's really disappointing. I think, you know, on the day when politicians get to speak in terms of issues of, you know, that you have a debate about and all the rest of it, which is the day before Waitangi Day, there's always been a bit of, you know, to-ing and fro-ing about when you speak, who gets to speak and all the rest of it. I've never known a Prime Minister not to be able to speak at some point, you know, and those sorts of things. But actually, that stuff's irrelevant. It's actually what happens on Waitangi Day itself, the 6th of February. And that day starts with a dawn service and a commemoration on the treaty grounds, the little whare there. And, you know, you have the service there, you come out into the treaty grounds, the dawn breaks and all the rest of it. My view is, it always has been, the Prime Minister should be there for that. That's the time, and there's no controversy about that. That's about starting today's commemorations, because what the day represents is, you know, the signing of an agreement that brought two peoples together. And however much it's been, you know, trashed and so on in terms of our history, and however much the effort we've taken to kind of reconcile ourselves and repair the harm that has been done over all those years, the reality is the 6th of February 1840 marks the time when agreement was reached that allowed government to be established and brought two peoples together. It's a spirit of unity, and the Prime Minister of the day should be leading the commemorations of that very event, and I just think it's bad for the Prime Minister not to be there.
Yeah, definitely. What are your personal plans for Waitangi? Will you be up there?
Yep, I get there on the 5th of February, so I'll go to the Lau Marae, and I don't know whether I'm speaking there or not, but I've given up other opportunities to speak on or around that marae, and then I'll be there for the 6th of February. I'll be at the dawn service. I'll start the day there, and then I'll book my way. I'm going to head down to Auckland after that. I'll go to a couple of other public events in Auckland and end the day in Wellington, where I'll go to another event there too. So, and I just think that's the right way to do it. And that's, you know, the leader of the nation, the Prime Minister, ought to be starting his day in Waitangi and leading off those nationwide celebrations.
Yeah, of course. And just regarding the Mount Albert by-election, so Jacinda Ardern is now going up against Green MP Julie Angenta. What will this, you know, what is this sort of going to reflect about the Labor-Green relationship coming up to the election?
I think, I mean, the reality is that even in the general election, when it comes to the party vote, both parties are going to be competing to maximise their share of the party vote. So in a sense, I think what happens at Mount Albert is a bit of a forerunner of that. But also what it reflects is the fact that we are two parties who have some common ground, but, you know, are out there presenting their credentials to the electorate, and we're trying to get every vote that we can. But we are two parties who have common ground. We have an agreement. We're both committed to representing a change of government and being that part of that change of government. And, you know, this is life for us. So, you know, I'm totally confident that Jacinda and Julie Angenta will campaign in a way that is respectful of each other, but we're, as representatives of two parties, that they are presenting their credentials to the electorate and trying to get every vote they can.
Yeah, right. And just wanted to ask, what sort of thinking went into behind the Labor and Green Party to host, you know, the joint State of the Nation event? Why did you guys decide to do that?
Well, we signed our agreement, our memorandum of understanding last year. We've been doing various things together in the last sort of 9 months or so, or 7 months since we signed that. And we did want to have an expression to, you know, New Zealand at large to say, listen, you know, the relationship is a real one. It's genuine. We are working together where we can. And so this is about kicking off the year to say, you know, present to New Zealand, here are two political parties presently in opposition, but who represent the possibility of change for New Zealand. So we'll do that. But, you know, as I said, in relation to Mount Albert, we are still two parties, separate parties, also wanting to maximise their vote as well. What New Zealanders will see is that we have, you know, we're parties with some common ground, with the ability to get on and agree. And where we have differences, be respectful about that and be able to resolve those differences.
Yeah, right. Well, that's all we have time for this week. So thank you, Andrew, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Look forward to it. Cheers.
Thank you. See ya. Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.